Musicians. Good evening, everyone. Let's give myself a second to set up here. So Caleb has rightly said that it is my desire tonight to speak on worship, but it's actually an aspect of worship that I would like to cover, Lord willing. But I want to sort of lay a foundation here first. Starting in April, here in the Sunday mornings, after we finished our first Samuel series, we had a number of messages on what we called foundational truths. And they were sort of a little bit all over the place in terms of things, but the sort of core thing that united them was that these were things that we believed to be true, things that we emphasized here in the assembly and practiced. Now, I'm going to give you a minute. I'm not going to throw Werther's out if you get this, but I want you to just think about what stands out to you. What do you remember? So it was April 5th until roughly around the end of June, June 21st, with a couple of different messages. What comes to mind when you think of some of those messages, some of the topics that we covered during those months? So, hopefully there's something there that you remember that we discussed. And so, it wouldn't have been the first time that we endeavored to sort of discuss or cover in a sermon series these ideas, either calling them foundational truths, or we did the thing where we went through the statement of faith and discussed the different aspects of the statement of faith. I think it was the Apostles' Creed that we went through and talked about each of those things. And in each of those cases, I would call that foundational truths, things that we hold on to and things that we believe. What I would like to do tonight is just to sort of take the opportunity to summarize some of the sort of the essence of what we covered in this foundational truth series and add one more aspect to it that sort of flows throughout the whole thing. And as you will see, it ties into what we'll be doing later on this evening in celebrating and sending off the Abrils. So, just for your review, just off the top, three of the messages that were shared during this time in the foundational series were gospel messages. When Serge shared, he deliberately sort of shared what is the gospel and then shared a gospel message. Rick Morse was here, and he gave a lovely illustration of the court scene talking about the gospel, and then Mark DeJager was also a part of that. And that is considered, I think that's rightly considered, part of that series. The gospel is foundational. It is the core of what we believe, and we want to preach the gospel, and we endeavor to preach the gospel here from this pulpit. Again, this morning, Peter did a wonderful job, although not part of our series, still did a wonderful job just sharing the plain, clear gospel message. So that is an important part. So those were three of the messages. Tim shared a message on evangelism, the importance of evangelism, and we'll touch on this a little later. Bill shared about persecution. And then there were just a couple of messages on things relating to the assembly and practices here. There was a message on the Lord's Supper. There was one on money and finances, marriage and the family, and then there was the covered and uncovered heads. So these are just some of these are the messages that were covered. And again, a thread that sort of ties them all together is this idea of things that we believe and practices here in the assembly that we hold to be true and important, and we want to emphasize those things because we need to be reminded, because we have been blessed with many people coming, and especially in that 11 o'clock service, people who are coming to our services and coming to, many are coming into fellowship from sometimes different backgrounds. And so it's valuable to learn maybe for the first time or to relearn that these are the things that we hold up and we value here, and we see them in Scripture. We don't just arbitrarily hold them up or think of them as important, but we see them practiced in Scripture. We see them practiced in the New Testament assembly, and so we emphasize those things, and we want to see those things practiced and reinforced and discussed and have discussions about them. So I should also mention, and I didn't mention this one yet, that Leonard started the series off talking about the universal and local church. And that was an intentional start off, talking just generally about what is the larger universal church, and then how is the local church an expression of that universal church. And there's he talked about a number of things that started with the letter F, as you may recall, and all talking about the origins and the purpose of the universal and local church. And so we are an expression here of the local church, a part of the larger body. And within this local church, there are things that how we practice and the way we perhaps might do things that might be different from another local expression of perhaps a different denominational a different denomination, but we are just a local expression here in Charlottetown Bible Chapel. We would say that we are just a body of believers that gather together to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. It's Him that we are here, and the person, His person, that we are gathered around, and so are different churches around the globe. They're gathering to that, but we gather to the name of the Lord Jesus. And that's what we do here. And one of the things then that we do within that meeting, and specific to our perhaps us here, is that we put a high emphasis on our what we would call our worship meeting, the Lord's Supper or communion service. That is a central part of what we practice here, and it's every week, and we gather together for that hour to worship the Lord and to focus on Him alone. We can do this, and we do this, and we'll get into this, because that we are called a kingdom of priests. We can gather together, and as priests, we come together. In other meetings, we might come to receive or to learn or to teach or whatever, but we come to that meeting to worship, to give worship to the Lord. The things that we have considered or gathered throughout the week, we come for that hour, and we just exclusively magnify and lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a unique meeting that we get to do that. In the others, the other things that we do, both within this building and without, are reflections of what we ought to do as the local universal church, that we are a separated and called out people, that we are to be humble, but we are also to be active in ministry and service. That's what we are called to do as representatives, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so one of the things that Scott brought out in his message in the Lord's Supper, he brought out two, I guess they were Greek words, referring to this idea of worship. The first was a word that's used over 60 times in Scripture, and it's this idea, the word is proskuneo, was, if you recall that, and it has the idea, it literally means to bow down or to lie prostrate before someone. Also embedded in that is the idea of lying flat and kissing the hand. You would think of a king or someone like that, that you're physically humbling yourself, you're lowering yourself, and there's that idea of worship. And so when we think about it in the context of the Lord's Supper or a worship meeting, that's literally what we're doing. We're bowing down to the Lord, and we are doing so humbly, in thanksgiving and praise and worship to God the Father for the Lord Jesus Christ and for His finished work on the cross for us. And so that aspect of worship, that proskuneo, is something that starts or ought to start within our hearts. It's treasuring God and considering Him and thinking highly of Him in our heart. So that's an internal posture. And so much of what we're considering here, when we're talking about the service and worship that we do, the whole conversation really has to talk about our attitude. And what is our attitude towards our worship? What is our attitude towards our service? when we come to worship the Lord on a Sunday morning, what is our attitude? How prepared are we? How ready are we to worship and serve? So when we think about the Lord's Supper, and also the idea that was brought up in the idea of the covered and uncovered heads, that idea also falls under this proskuneo, this idea of intentional, deliberate bowing down. It's an attitude of the heart. It's an act of the heart. So whether your head is covered or uncovered, the posture of that, the attitude of that is humility and worship and recognition of who God is and understanding, his order and how that things are that way. So it's an act of worship and obedience. The covered and uncovered heads is just that. And so that it's that idea of proskuneo. And in part, or perhaps in whole, the second aspect of this worship flows out of your love and devotion to Christ, but even that draws out in your proskuneo on Sundays when we gather together and worship. But that first idea is just that physical prostrating, that bowing down that Scotty mentioned. And the second aspect, and the aspect that I'm going to spend more of my time discussing this evening, is this it's called latruo, is the idea. So that's the Greek word, and it means to serve God. The idea here is the idea of thinking about the Old Testament and the tabernacle and the temple, their priestly service. So if you think about the way that the priests would dress, the way they prepare, the acts that they would do, this is all here tied up in this. All the duties of the temple, the doing of things in service to God. So it ranges from, in the Old Testament, that temple ministry, the physical temple ministry that they would be doing, but it also encapsulates this idea of a continual whole life devotion to of believers to the Lord, and it ultimately culminates in the eternal worship that we will one day do in heaven. So it's formal, it's practical, and it's also this idea of this whole life a full of worship to the Lord. So this is the idea. This latruo, this service aspect of worship is what I want to sort of consider going forward. And in the same reason, thinking about, coming to the Lord's Supper and examining your hearts and your attitudes before we come to that worship time, it's very important, I think, that we also be considerate of the attitude of our hearts in the service that we do. If our service that we do to the Lord is an act of worship, at the very beginning of it, what is our attitude towards the Lord? Right, our attitude towards the Lord will ultimately dictate that the expression of that in the acts that we do for the Lord. So, as I said, in the Old Testament, this idea, this latruo, seen in the priests, the way that the priests would dress, their formality, their seriousness, that they would take of their responsibilities, they gave their time and their skills to honor God, and others did too. They used their gifts and their abilities in the construction of the things for the temple or whatever it might be. So that's all embedded in this idea. In the New Testament, Christians, especially in the New Testament letters, there's often allusions to the idea of Christians together that gather together as a family, and or members of the same body. So when we gather together in this local church together, there is this variety of individuals with different backgrounds and strengths, but also within that a variety of gifts and abilities that God has given to each one of us. And so when we come together in terms of our service, each one comes doing their part in serving so that the entire body may benefit from that. Whether that may be in whatever aspect of service that you can do, that you're obviously first and foremost, it is unto the Lord, but then in addition, or as well, it's how the body benefits from that, that exercising of that gift. We're bringing glory to God first, but also blessing and benefiting the saints. Let's look at a couple verses just to underscore this. Let's start at Hebrews chapter 9. You can, if you have your Bible, you can turn with me to Hebrews chapter 9. This idea, again, of Latruo, where this comes from, and how it's shown in the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. Okay, and it's talking about that priestly service and the sprinkling of the bulls, the sprinkling of defiled persons, etc. But then it's saying, you know, in terms of Christ, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to latruo, the living God? That's what we're brought out of, and the contrast there is to sort of show is deliberate there in showing like we are coming from that. And so as we come out of that, and as we recognize how amazing that is and how wonderful that is, that we have been cleansed and purified, and our conscience purified from dead works, out of that into this opportunity to worship through this service to the living God. A very familiar verse. You can turn there, or you can just probably know it by heart. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. We know this verse. We share it often, but this is probably, I think, maybe the key verse of this whole sermon that I'm sharing this evening. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your latruo, your spiritual worship, your reasonable service, your rational service, depending on your translation. This is the idea. Presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice, as an expression of worship to the living God. This is something that we get to do as part, as people who have been born again, who are a part of that universal church, and then practically in that expression of the local church, getting to being able to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is our spiritual worship. And then again, these are familiar verses, but they help us anchor sort of this whole text. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Again, most of you probably know where we're going with these. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Well, let's start at verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This idea, we are his workmanship, created for these good works, this reasonable service, this worship that we can do. This is what we have been brought into. This is our position, and what a privilege then to, as God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus, that we can walk in these things. So this is the idea of that we are called to do this latruo. And once again, just emphasizing the attitude of our hearts as we do it, and we look to the Lord Jesus and his perfect example. We think of the Lord Jesus in his humility, the way that he served. We think of John chapter 13. I'll just share the verses. This is in the upper room where Jesus is telling his disciples after he has washed their feet, their dirty feet. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. And so we are called to serve, following Christ's example to us of humility, the one who created the worlds, stooping down and cleaning the mud and the dirt and the filth off of his disciples' feet. Just that same attitude towards service ought to be our attitude, as of the Lord Jesus. Serving God means humbling ourselves, putting others before ourselves, and reflecting the love of the Lord Jesus in the things that we do for others. Easy to say it, easy to share that concept, but it's in the doing of it where the rubber hits the road, right? We can talk about having that right posture, that right attitude of our hearts in the way that we worship through serving, but it's a challenge. And so whatever it is that we do in that latruo, I think we have to keep coming back to this what is the heart, what is my heart in this, what is my attitude towards serving, and remembering what the Lord Jesus has done for us. So how much more should we want to do these things for him? So underscoring this whole idea, if we haven't sort of nailed it down yet, that serving the Lord, or service as unto the Lord, is an act of worship. That's what this latruo is. And it is very much in the things that we do, or can do, or are able to do, it's a decision, and it's not necessarily based on a feeling. You know, in the things that we are able to do for the Lord, maybe not in every act, maybe not every Tuesday night when people are coming into Kids Club, or Saturday morning when they're coming in to clean the chapel, or heading up for a week of camp, or whatever that service is, maybe, you know, we're not always like super pumped to go. Maybe it's not just like, oh man, even though I have 20 things today, who cares about all that? I want to go and serve the Lord. That may not be our attitudes, but it's not based on how we feel, right? It's not to be based on, well, I don't feel like serving today. I don't feel like getting up and going. You know, that we have to and we ought to keep those things in check of remembering that we're not to be led around by our feelings. That services unto the Lord is a posture of the whole heart. It's a part of our walk that we do these things as unto the Lord, not for man's praise, not for any other thing, but to do it as unto the Lord. And so that's you know, that worship, whether that's that Sunday morning worship when we're around the table, or the worship through serving, it's an overflow of the heart that is preoccupied with the Lord Jesus. That's the McDonald's definition of worship, I think. An overflow of the heart preoccupied with the Lord Jesus. Would that our whole hearts, our whole lives, our attitudes towards service be that overflow of a heart preoccupied with the Lord Jesus. And so how do you get there, right? Unless you're spending time with the Lord Jesus, unless you are intimate and close with the Lord Jesus, unless you are familiar with what God is teaching us and sharing with us through his word, that's where the distance happens. That's where the coldness gets in and the feelings take over when we're too preoccupied with, oh, I've got to do this, and I have these things, and I don't have time, and I don't want to, and I don't feel like it, right? Oftentimes, that comes out of a coldness or a distance or separation that we have inflicted, you know, or separated from the Lord Jesus. So, preoccupied. May we be preoccupied with the Lord Jesus, and then as an outflow of that preoccupation, may we serve him. And so just considering then practically some ways in which we can do this latruo within the four walls of this building or without, these are not new things. It's just reminders for us and where we see it being practiced and expressed. And again, hopefully some of these come out of this series that we went through in the spring. And so one of the messages was by Travis on marriage and the family. And what a great place, an opportunity to practice latruo in your homes, with your spouse, with your children. Ephesians 5 says, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So that's obviously, you know, that's generally talking about a posture, an attitude towards others. Is just having that that attitude as an act of worship, that submission as an act of worship to others, putting others' needs before my own, in the home with the family. Familiar verses. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Now, as to the church, submits to Christ, so also wives submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. He who loves his wife loves himself. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. In the way that we love our spouse and treat our spouse is an act of latruo. We are able to serve and show love to those in our family, to our children. Do we recognize our marriage as a gift from God, this picture of Christ in the church? Do we are we able to sort of understand and see this idea and practice this idea of sacrifice and submission and love as an act of worship? Have we considered our marriages and the way we, in our marriages, as an act of worship? Are we serving one another in our marriage? It's easy. I can attest to the ease with which I can settle into patterns of selfishness and wanting to serve my own needs in a marriage. I can attest to at times in a marriage where the relationship is more of a business dealing, two people working together to make sure kids get here or there or get things done, and ships passing in the night as I go to one meeting and she goes to another. This can become the pattern of marriages, but it ought not to be. It should rather be this idea of this perfect picture of the Lord in the church, where there's submission and sacrifice and love. May it be so. Even within, again, with our spouses and within our marriages, intimacy is an act of marriage, an act of worship with our spouses. This is a gift that God has given to us, and so we can, even in that, practice that as a gift with our spouses and grow together. Serving as an act of worship. With our children, raising our children to know and love the Lord Jesus, giving our time and our energy and our strength, sacrificing for our children, teaching them about the Lord Jesus, bringing them to the Sunday school, the meetings, but teaching them in your home, taking the time to teach them in your home, and being an example in your home, again, of a loving spouse, just someone who serves, someone who loves the Lord Jesus, someone who prioritizes the gathering with the saints. I see these as acts of worship. Perhaps I'm extrapolating too far here, but I don't think so. Raise your children to know and love the Lord Jesus. Treat them and the raising of them as an act of worship for the Lord. Dwight shared about money and finances, and the idea of this is being finances and money as an act of worship, as a thing that you can use to latrio. First of all, how we get that money is often through our jobs. And we go to jobs and we do the 9-to-5 thing. But even at that, and I've talked about this, I think, at different times before, about recognizing that God has given us gifts and abilities to do the jobs that we're able to do. There are things, you know, that I can do in my place of work, and people would say, oh, I can't believe it. I don't know how you work with kids, blah, blah, blah. And I could say, well, I certainly like the age group that I work in, but don't ever put me in a kindergarten classroom. I would be horrible in a kindergarten classroom, and this gifting and abilities for people who can do that, or who can build houses, or can you know, do all sorts of things that we're able to do, because God has given each of us brains and bodies that work, and that's, even at that, a recognition of that ought to result in worship. So we have jobs, and from those jobs we are able to make a living, using, just first of all, recognizing and saying, like, we can even in our places of work, use that as, and recognize that and worship God in that. Say, thank you for the job that I've been given so that I can provide a paycheck to pay for groceries and heating and this home and whatever it might be. And also then to use that money to serve others, as we'll get into. Is your job a conduit through which you latruo? You can serve. So first we have the job. Praise God that we are able to work. He's given us bodies and minds that allow us to do that. And then from that we have money. And so the idea here was that how our attitude towards the money. Everything comes back to the attitude. We can, you know, pile up our money and spend it on ourselves, or, you know, just put it away and stash it away, or, and build and build and build. But we're not called to do that, right? I think right off the bat, if we're going to properly understand money in a worshipful way, it's to recognize that it's not ours in the first place. If our attitude towards our finances and our money is, this is just another gift from God that he's given to us, and as, you know, as the Bible shares, and we would definitely encourage that you know, right off the top, you take that first fruits and you offer it to the Lord and give it to however the Lord would direct you to give that money. It's an act of worship. It's a way to serve through worship. Is the way we treat our finances an act of worship, or is it a reflection of our selfishness and our just in case the world goes this way, or just in case this happens, you know, and we're out of fear, perhaps, we don't want to trust God and say, you know, I can't give that much, because then how will we? We have so many examples of people who, you know, we think of the George Mueller's who have just been able to trust God and say, I'll put it in your hands and watch how God blesses. Very briefly, we talk, so Tim messes on evangelism and Bill's on persecution. They often can be tied in together. But evangelism, tonight we're thinking about Jaden and Bailey and Scott and Jess, but evangelism doesn't necessarily just mean going away. It can mean that, and it does mean that, but also evangelism within our own communities. We have seen the fruits of evangelism here in this community with a number of people who have come in through camp, through the bus stop stuff, through the old home week. There's different ways in which we've been able to, others have been brought or reached because of evangelism. So just worshiping through the fact that we get to serve and get to share the gospel. So those are just some ways, even perhaps, you know, within and without, but there's others. As I alluded to, this idea of the skills and abilities that God has given us or equipped us with to serve the body of Christ, that local expression here in Charlottetown or wherever the Lord might lead you. It says in 1 Corinthians, there's a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. And we have been blessed here in the ways in which the different people as a part of this assembly have used their gifts to build up and equip the saints and share the gospel and keep the building clean and reach different groups and do all sorts of things. I just briefly wanted to mention this idea of deacons. There is in 1 Timothy explicit instructions about deacons. Now, these might be your capital D deacons, if I call it that. There are servant leaders in the local church, but I want to put forward to you that those who serve, this idea of latruo, you are deacons. You are doing a work, you are doing a service as worship unto the Lord. And so there are deacons amongst us, recognized or unrecognized, those who serve and love the Lord Jesus, and that is just expressed through their service. You are deacons. And so as deacons, as servants, this is just a good check to be reminded of. You know, Jared talked about elders and didn't talk as much about deacons, so I wanted to hit on some of these ideas here. Servants, workers, in 1 Timothy it says they're called to be dignified, trustworthy, sincere, self-controlled, faithful in their commitments. Similar to the list of elders, we are to lead our households well, demonstrating personal integrity. And so there is a calling to those who are servants. You know, it's not just that anyone serves, but that we ought to hold ourselves to a standard. If we're going to serve, and we all have opportunities to serve, but that we hold ourselves to a standard to do that. And it comes back to this idea of your attitude. What is your attitude in your service? What is the posture of your heart in doing the service that you're doing? It's always good to check that and be reminded of why are you doing what you're doing? What's your attitude towards it? Serving in the church is a calling believers have to build up the church and honor God. So each believer has this God-given purpose and unique role, each member contributing to the whole so that the church may grow and God may be glorified. But all of these gifts, all of these abilities and your ability to serve, again, I didn't get into that list, but whatever it might be, that servant work that you're doing, and we know that there's a variety of ways in which you can serve in this place, the gifts that you have to do that service ought to flow out of that worshipful attitude towards the Lord, and those gifts must be used in love rather than obligation. We wouldn't want anyone to be serving out of an obligation. It should come from, again, I recognize what Christ has done for me. I recognize that how glorious it is to be saved and to be in the family of God, to be surrounded by like-minded people who know and love the Lord Jesus. I have an opportunity to use something God has given me, physical, material, or spiritual, and share it with others. What a blessing, what an opportunity. So that rather than obligation. Whether we teach, encourage, worship, pray, lead, support, or simply lend a helping hand, there's always meaningful work to be done, and God equips and strengthens us as we step into that work that God has prepared for us, that service that he has prepared for us. God equips us with spiritual gifts to serve and build up the church. And so just wanting to have you consider and think about some of these things and ask, how has God uniquely equipped you to serve the body of Christ? I wonder if you've considered that. Many of you, and especially coming to an evening service here, probably have considered that and have been busy in that for decades. And the assembly here has benefited because of that. But perhaps I put that question towards maybe some younger people newer here to the assembly. How has God uniquely equipped you to serve the body of Christ? And are you currently using your gifts to honor God and build up his people? How does your heart attitude shape how you serve in the church? Perhaps you have been hesitant. Perhaps there is something that, that is a roadblock, something that you're harboring that holds you back from fully committing and serving in the church. What has helped you determine where to serve in the church? As we know, this is there's quite a number of people that are coming here. There's always opportunities. There's ways in which you can find it. You can simply ask someone, where's an opportunity? Where's a place I can serve? But doing that, just being mindful that what is your heart in doing that? Is it because you feel like, oh, well, I'm supposed to do this? Now that I'm in fellowship, I'm supposed to do this? Well, that's not necessarily it. It ought to flow out of a heart posture, right, that's preoccupied with the Lord Jesus, and it's like you almost can't contain it. It's like, I want to go and do this. Whether it's a small thing that no one will ever recognize, or maybe it's a more public thing, making sure that the attitude of our hearts is, this is something that I want to do to serve God. And so that's all I'm going to share in that aspect for now, just something for us to consider. And we'll turn our direction now towards the Abrils. And as we know, this is something that's been in the works for some time. I don't remember how long ago it was that I remember meeting Jaden and Bailey in the basement and just having a chat with them when they first said to us, this is something that we're very serious about and we're really excited about it. And so it's been a process for us as the elders. This is our first time for the four of us to go through this with them and then Scott and Jess, and it's been exciting, and it's just a wonderful opportunity. Here's just a family, individuals who've felt that calling on them to go and to share the gospel in another place. And as Jaden said, having Tim and Kathy as a part of their lives and sort of directing that, the Lord bringing Tim and Kathy here and being instrumental in that is also a part of that. But just as an assembly, we have this wonderful and unique opportunity to send this family to Mexico to learn the language and grow and just that the Lord leads them and shows them where you'd have them next. It's a wonderful thing. It's an answer to many prayers, and so we are just so excited for them. And so what we want to do at this time, as we sort of segue into our time of fellowship tonight, where we'll get an opportunity to just send them off, is we would like to call them up, and the elders are going to pray over them and send them. Through prayer, and so we'd like to call them up now, and we'll do that, and then we'll close and give thanks for the fellowship downstairs. So why don't you come up, Abriels, and elders. I'm going to get you guys to stand here. We've never done this before, so this is new and exciting for us too, right? This is great, and what a great opportunity to get to do this. So maybe a couple of us will just pray for the Abriels, and then we'll just close and give thanks. So maybe I'll pray last if someone, one of you other ones, wants to pray.
Our Father, we thank you that we can come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we thank you that we can be reminded also of the Great Commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And we thank you, Father, that that commission still stands. And we thank you for the desire that my brother and sister Jaden and Bailey have to be part of that mission. And Father, we pray as we commend them here today to the grace, to your grace, and send them off to Mexico, that you may go before them.
Mm.
And Father, we know that Moses once prayed that asking if your presence doesn't go with us, let us not go up from here. And Father, we would pray that same prayer for Jaden and Bailey today, that you may go before them, that they may follow in faith, trusting you for every step of the way. Father, we pray for this. We pray that you may also use this whole journey to make them grow spiritually, to do a work in them, and not just by them, but also through them and in them, and that they may be vessels fit for the Master's use. Father, we ask you these things, and we commend them to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Again, our Father, we just give you thanks for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for this occasion, this opportunity, where we, as an assembly, are able to send off this couple, and we commend them again to your care, to the work at Mexico, Father, and just, Father, that you would lead them, and they would just know your presence along each step of the way. We pray for their practical needs. We pray that just for safety, even as they are traveling, and for their safety there. We pray for their children, that even in the work that they'd be doing down there in Mexico, that they'd be able to just share the love of the Lord Jesus with them, that their children would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. We pray for the workers down there that they'll be working with. We pray for unity as a team, that they would work together well for the glory of the Lord, for the furtherance of the gospel. We pray for this. We pray for just that you will just do a mighty work through this family, that you would be honored and glorified through it. We thank you for this time. We ask your blessing now as we enjoy a time of fellowship together. We thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, each one. We invite you to come downstairs and enjoy a time of fellowship with us.